Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
I introduce Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins. Alderman Hopkins, you had enough votes right there to say, okay, we could have the curfews, these new curfews, the way we want them, to control what's going on, not only in your ward, Alderman, but all over the city and arguably beyond the city, which you have no jurisdiction for. But these teen takeovers, that's what I'm talking about, apparently they're happening in Naperville and some other suburbs as well. So this could have been a model. Our mayor, Mayor Johnson, vetoed it. Can you come back and try all over again or not? How does that work?
Yeah, well, we can override a veto. Same thing that can happen in Washington, D.C., in the United States Congress, with a presidential veto can be overridden. It's part of the checks and balances inherent in our system of government, where the legislative branch and the executive branch are considered co-equal. Go back to your eighth grade civics lessons for that. So we do have the opportunity now to override this mayoral veto, and I'm actively working on doing just that. We'll see if it happens. The vote will be July 16th, which is our next city council meeting. That's the only opportunity we have by under state law, which gives us the legal authority to override a mayoral veto. It's limited to the immediately following meeting from the time when the legislation passed. So we're going all in, one roll of the dice on July 16th, and possibly we could make history and override a mayoral veto in the city of Chicago for the first time.
This will be the first time ever that I don't remember it happening, but this will be literally the first time.
Yeah, there was an attempt under Mayor Richard Daley, Richard M. Daley, back in, I think it was 2006. He vetoed some legislation. There was an attempt to override it. It fell short by, I believe, 5 votes. And there was really never much doubt that it would fall short. This one's different. This one is completely up in the air, and it could go either way. There's a lot of things can happen between now and July 16th, but I'll continue trying to work the roll call. And I can tell you, some of the aldermen who voted no last week on the curfew ordinance have expressed to me how surprised they are by the anger and the backlash that they've faced in their own neighborhoods. You know, where word got out that they voted no on this common sense tool that the police have asked for, they're taking a lot of heat back home in their communities. And when they have an opportunity to revisit it, they very well may turn from a no to a yes and vote to override a veto. We'll see what happens.
All right. We should explain what we're talking about in case people do not know. So these teen takeovers, I'll let you explain in a moment, have been happening a lot in your ward downtown. But it turns out, when you really look at it, it's happening all over the city and, in fact, all over suburbia as well, or at least parts of suburbia. You have no jurisdiction there, but aldermen in other wards have been impacted as well. And your idea is just to give police an opportunity to say, all right, we are going to, this is getting out of hand, we are going to create a take, we are going to create a situation now where there's a curfew. And in fact, doesn't the vice mayor even, or some such thing, have to okay that? You need to explain that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, because I can tell you the opponents of this idea have employed a strategy to basically spread completely false and inaccurate information about what this is. That's part of their strategy to defeat it. They're basically just lying about it. So thank you, Steve, for giving me the opportunity to correct the record. All it is the ability for the police to do two things. Number one, proactively declare a curfew in place for a given location and a given period of time based on information that they have that there's a planned event there for unaccompanied minors. Young teenagers are expected to congregate, let's say, at 31st Street Beach. They're going to have an illegal event with drugs, alcohol, everything else, and we get wind of it. The minute we find out about it, we can say, you know what? There's a curfew in place for unaccompanied minors on 31st Street Beach starting at 7 o'clock. If you show up for this event, you will be detained on a curfew violation. It stops the event from happening. Period. So it eliminates the opportunity for the out-of-control teen takeover that we've all seen the video. The second thing it can do is, in the event that one does occur, that we didn't have any warning, with a 30-minute notice to the teenagers on the scene, and that notice would take place with the police officers making announcements over the PA system through their cars, bullhorns, whatever, that clear this area, you have a dispersal order, unaccompanied minors are not allowed here, effective 30 minutes from now. That ends the event. So this tool is designed to stop those violent, chaotic takeovers that we've all seen the video of. And there's reasonable checks and balances within there to make sure that the tool couldn't be abused. So that's all it is. And again, the police have asked me for this. The superintendent and several of his senior commanders came to me initially with this and said, you know, we need this. Can you introduce this legislation, Alderman, and get it passed? And I agreed to, and we did. We successfully passed it over the mayor's objection. And frankly, I think that's remarkable since, you know, people have accused the city council of being a rubber stamp for the mayor ever since I've been around. For decades, that's been the accusation. Here's one instance where the city council stood up independently and passed an ordinance that makes sense over the mayor's objection, and now he's going to veto it.
And part of what the mayor is saying, or implying anyway, is that this is racist. What is your comment on that? And before you do, what we do know, and I suspect you would talk about this, but what we do know is that at least some of the people, some of the time, that are coming in for these teen takeovers are from the suburbs and look all different sorts of ways. They don't look one way. So can you talk about the racist implication here? And racist or not, if people are doing bad, they're doing bad. But I want you to comment.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bait on that one, other than to say, read the legislation. Read it. Tell me what about it is racist. There's not a word of this ordinance that sounds racist to me. And I would point out that my two co-sponsors of this ordinance are African-American leaders in the city council. Some of the most impassioned speeches on the floor when we took the successful vote came from African-American aldermen who were just pushing for this to pass. So the accusation that it's racist is just beyond ridiculous, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, so we have literally less than 1 minute here, Alderman. We're about to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, because you and I have talked about an ordinance separate from the conversation we're having right now about dogs off leash. More and more people are walking their dogs in your ward all over the city off leash. My concern is for the dogs. Your concern is public health and for the public. You're also, I'm sure, concerned about the dogs. And I understand we're going to do something about this.
We are. We're working on that. Put the cat back in the bag and put the dog on a leash. It's the law, right? So as a dog lover, you know that unleashed dogs in an area of leashed dogs is a recipe for conflict between the dogs. Dogs are likely to engage in aggressive behavior at each other when one is leashed and one is not. So it's an unsafe thing to do, to have unleashed dogs in the same area as leashed dogs. And it's against the law. And I'll point this out as well. Dog bites in the city of Chicago, according to the data we have from emergency departments who treat dog bites, it's up 32% since pre-pandemic time. So the data that we have before 2020 compared to today, a 32% increase in dog bites in the city. And I would argue that isn't because there's 32% more dogs. That's because we have more inexperienced dog owners, and we have more people who are willing to ignore the common sense law and walk around with their dogs off a leash. It has to stop. It has to change. We need responsible dog owners to lead this fight. They have to be the ones to stand up and say, there's a reason your dog must be on a leash unless it's in an authorized dog park. Stop ignoring the law. There isn't a single person out there, I would argue, that is unaware of the leash law. It isn't a question of we need more signs, we need to cajole, we need to do a better job begging people to follow the law. These are people who know the law and don't think it applies to them. They're entitled, they're reckless, they're irresponsible, and they're causing harm.
All right, it needs to stop.
And the only way it's going to stop is with enforcement.
I need to stop you only because we have to go to the newsroom, and you know that you and I will talk about this. And in fact, I'm on the board of anti-cruelty, and we could probably get them involved too. Alderman Hopkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.